All right. It's such a great and huge privilege to be here with you this afternoon. And thank you for making it a date with the Lord here today. I want to specially appreciate my beloved daughter, spiritual daughter, and her husband, popularly known as TMA, the Mrs. Aaron. I celebrate you, beloved. I celebrate you. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity. And I also want us to help me specially appreciate my father in the Lord who granted me the permission to be here today. I'm a man under authority. If he didn't grant the permission, I won't be here today. But he gave me the permission to be a blessing to us all on this platform today. I want you to celebrate with me Pastor Segun Obaje, Pastor Funke Obaje. Pastor, when we celebrate you, thank you for giving to the Lord. Hallelujah. And of course, I also want you to help me celebrate my beautiful wife, Pastor Kenny Oluoparoku. She's been a huge support. Thank you, everyone, for making it a date with the Lord here today. And I know you're going to be greatly blessed. You're going to be greatly blessed. So open up your heart, grab your notepad, get your pen, and let your Bible be beside you. Let's explore God's word together. Amen. All right, I believe you're ready for the word. Okay, so getting it right. I once again want to appreciate the grace of God upon my daughter, the Mrs. Aaron, who has gathered everyone here on this platform and has been feeding you with God's word and arranging strategic programs to the end that you get it right with respect to preparing for marriage. And this is a wonderful and a wholesome platform, and I believe that it should be applauded and should be taken very seriously, because this is what has been noticed to be the missing link. People finding themselves on the stage without necessarily being prepared. People showing up in destiny without being prepared for it. They make a mess of destiny. And a lot of people have sustained scars doing trials and error, practicing on the job. You can't be practicing on the job when it comes to marriage. Of course, there are things you get to learn in marriage, but there are some basic things that you must have learned coming into marriage. And one of it is the subject matter for today, and that's submission. Submission. By way of introduction, excuse me, I would like to start by showing us something very, very crucial, something very, very important to submission in marriage. And that is making God's word as your final authority. Submission to God's word. Being absolute about the word of God. Not being sentimental about what the word says, not having personal, this is what I feel about the word, not having cultural sentiment, not having psychological sentiment. All right, being absolute about the word of God. What has the word of God got to say about this? And then embracing it, taking it as your own, receiving God's word as God Himself, speaking to you. And this is very, very important. It is very, very important. All right. Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse 20, it says, "My son, attend to my word. Attend to my word." It is the word of God that brings us into our inheritance. It is the word of God that brings us into God's plan and purpose for our life. All right, if you look at Proverbs chapter number 4, all right, if you read from verse 20, I'd like to jump to verse 22. It says, "They are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." All right, God's word is life for whoever finds it. God's word is rest. All right, God's word is that which brings a man into his place of rest. Isaiah chapter number 26. I believe you're with your Bible. All right, Isaiah chapter number 26 and verse 3 says something very, very important. It says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee," whose mind is submitted to your word. Why? Because it trusts in thee. All right, if you trust in the Lord, it means you will believe in whatever he tells you. All right, you will submit to the lordship of his word. So what brings into rest, what brings into peace, is actually submitting to the word of God. Now, let me tell you this. Listen carefully to this now. If you will make the most of marriage, then you must learn being absolute about God's word. You must learn how to submit to the word. And listen to this. You can't submit to your husband without submitting to the word. If you are not a woman of submission to the word, all right, then you cannot be a woman that submits to a husband. It's not possible. And why is that? It's simple. The instrument of leadership, all right, the scepter of authority given to your husband in marriage is the word. It's going to lead that marriage by the word, all right? It's going to lead you into your rest by the word. So if you've not learned submission to the word, all right, it's going to be difficult for you to submit to your husband. And that this is crucial to our discussion today. It is very important to what we're going to discuss today. Submission to the word of God. Submission to the word of God. If you don't submit to the word of God, you cannot submit to your husband. And this has to sink deeply into your heart, all right? You have to embrace it with all of your heart that the first thing to learn, you know, about submission in marriage as a godly woman, all right, is submission to the word of God. Taking God's word as final authority, it's very important. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I believe we got that. That's very, very important. All right. Submission to God's word. Absolute submission to the word of God. Now, that being said, I would like to say that we all have equal access to the Father. All right. Male and female, we have equal access to the Father. Before the Father, a male man does not have more access to the Father than a female man. Hallelujah. However, in marriage, all right, we understand that in marriage, there is male or female. Of course, in Christ Jesus, Galatians chapter 3, if you read from verse 28 down to 29, we understand that there is neither male nor female. Hallelujah. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And it says, "If ye are Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." In other words, we have equal access to the promise, either male or female. But in marriage, there is male, there is female. And of course, marriage is between, all right, a matured male and female. Bible says in Genesis chapter number 1 and verse 27, it says, "God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." God created man, all right, male. He created female, male, female, male, female. Hallelujah. Male, female, male, female. There's a male for you. I said, there's a male for you. And I prophesy that in the name of Jesus, for those that are not, you know, that are still single and are of marriageable age, I prophesy into your life now, your male is here. Your mate is here. None will lack a mate in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So, you know, there is male and there is female in marriage. And according to God's design, and I want us to understand this very, very carefully. This is very important. This is very important. You have to be absolute about what God has said about something. All right, not being sentimental. That was the first thing we said. Now, according to God's order, God brought the male man on board before the female man. God made Adam. I believe we still remember the story of creation. God made Adam, and from one of his ribs, he made Eve. So, by the law of precedence, Adam came before Eve. Man came, all right, before woman. Husband before the wife. It is God's order. It is God's order. Now, to go against that order is to violate the principle of God and is to struggle in marriage. If you really want to make the most of your marriage, then there are some principles that you must embrace. By law of precedence, the man came first, and then the woman later. Hallelujah. Praise God. So this is very, very important. And you know, as a woman who desires to make the most of marriage, you must embrace this wholeheartedly. Amen. All right, so another thing I want to say as a foundation to this teaching, as a background, is the principle of oneness. Oneness. Now, God desires oneness, and that is why he has put us all in Christ. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All right, and you know, because of his love for Christ, it means, you know, he loves you. The love God has for Christ is not more than the love he has for you. He loves you as much as he has loved Christ. And how was he able to achieve that? Or how is he, because he loves us always, how is he able to achieve that? Because, you know, his love, his affection has been poured on Christ, and anyone that will find himself in Christ is as loved as the Father. And the love we're talking about here is not the love of, you know, God so loved the world, entire world, all right, is a special kind of love for those who are in Christ. He loves us absolutely because we're in Christ. Now, God wants that principle to permeate the face of the earth. And so he brought the man on board and then took from his rib, made a woman. All right, you know, remember when Adam called Eve woman, she said, this is now bone of my bone, she's part of me, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. All right, let's just take this stepwise. We'll soon see from Ephesians chapter number 5, all right, that the principle of oneness, you know, was what Adam referred to there. Oneness, accepting the woman as part of him. Now, in marriage, God intends for the husband and the wife to be one. God sees actually the man and the woman as one. Bible says the two shall be one flesh. We're going to talk about that later. One flesh. All right, what it means. All right. If a man is married and is not in full oneness, or a woman is married and is not in oneness with his or her spouse, you know, it's going to be serious struggle in that marriage. And the principle of oneness touches the three parts of man. All right. Man is a spirit being, he has a soul and he lives in a body. All right, so there is oneness on the level of the spirit, or at the level of the spirit, oneness in the soul, and of course oneness in the body. Now I need to lay this foundation so you can, you know, appreciate submission by the time we get into the heart of it. Now, oneness in the spirit says you should, of course, marry a believer. All right, Bible says not to be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. You should not get married to, in fact, you should not be attracted by an unbeliever, no matter how handsome, how sweet he is. All right, no matter how nice it is, because people are full of saying, oh, pastor, you know, you need to meet this guy, he's very nice. A nice unbeliever, he's still an unbeliever. All right, he's a child of the devil. All right, so nice, or being nice, is not part of the fruit of the spirit. The last time I checked, it's not there. Niceness is not there. Hallelujah. Amen. So no matter how nice he is, as long as he's a believer, an unbeliever rather, all right, you should not even be attracted to him. So he's born again, you're born again, and then you begin to listen to God's word, receiving God's word, you're growing together, all right, you're building something in the spirit. Amen. So you see things alike, spiritual principles, all right, you agree on spiritual principles. That's oneness in the spirit. Oneness in the mind, all right, talks about you developing your mind together, exposing yourself to the same knowledge. All right, the gap of knowledge should not be too wide. Okay, the man knows so much and the woman knows next to nothing. A lot of people build their relationship that way. The guy knows so much, he's educating his mind, opening up his mind to a lot of things, a lot of information, you know, but the woman does not know jack. And so you'll find this disparity between them. They won't be, you know, best pals when they're discussing, because they don't have a common ground of discussion. And that they will have serious issue in that kind of relationship. And of course, if peradventure, all right, the relationship turns or gets into marriage, there'll be serious fundamental issues in that marriage. And so you want to come to the point of oneness that you see things in the same light. All right, they ask you a question here and they ask him a question wherever he is. You're giving almost the same answer, if not the same answer. The way you see things alike. Hallelujah. Now I'm showing you this because it's important to submission. Because when the guy is saying something and you've not come to a point where you've come into oneness, or you are coming to oneness in your mind, it's going to be difficult for you to submit to his suggestions. It's going to be difficult for you to submit to his principles. Oneness in the mind. And of course, the third part is oneness in the body. All right, that is exclusive to marriage. Oneness in the body, or oneness of the body, talks about sex, sexual intercourse. And you know, you should not be one in your body until you're married. You shouldn't. Hallelujah. I believe we got that. Amen. All right. So what is submission? What is submission? All right. Submission means to obey. I checked out this from the Greek dictionary. Greek dictionary says it means to obey. It means to be in subjection. And it's also a Greek word. It was a Greek word, you know, used in the military. And it means to arrange, you know, troop divisions in a military fashion under the command of a leader. All right. So it means they respond to the command of the leader. And then in non-military terms, it also means a voluntary attitude of giving in or cooperating or assuming responsibility or carrying a burden. Voluntary. And that's important. All right. It's better, all right, you make yourself do it than, you know, to be forced into doing it. When you are forced into doing it, that's not submission. When you are coerced into doing it, that is not submission. All right. It also means humility. Turn your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. We start reading from verse 3. Titus chapter 2 and verse 3. I'll read quickly into verse 5. It says, the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, all right, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, all right. Apostle Paul wrote to Titus, you know, encouraging him to teach the old women, to teach young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste, to be keepers at home, to be good and obedient to their own husband. Now, the word obedient there also means submit. To submit to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Wow. So it means, you know, the word of God could be blasphemed if the wife is not submitted to the husband. And then Titus, if you read down the same Titus chapter 2, verse 9, it says, exhort servants to be obedient. That word obedient, they also mean submit unto their own master, and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. Submission is done in humility. It takes humility to submit. All right, preferring someone else to yourself. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 5. I believe your Bible is here. All right, we're going to see these things from God's word. Don't forget where we started from. It starts with submission to the word. So we're going to establish this from the word. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse 5. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. You see that? Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. You see that? Being clothed with humility, all right, helps your submission. It helps your submission. And then verse 6, it says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In fact, the latter part of verse 5 says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So it takes humility to actually submit. Humility comes, all right, before submission. And then look at James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4 and verse 7, it says, to submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit yourselves. So listen, submission is self-imparted. Submission is something you do voluntarily. It's not good for God to do it for you. You know, you shouldn't pray prayers like, Lord, humble me. Lord, submit me to my husband. If God humbles you, ask from Nebuchadnezzar, all right? You humble yourself, all right? We have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. It says, submit yourself, humble yourself, submit yourself. And so, submission is something we do. It is what we do by ourselves. And listen, if you're asking, why should you submit? All right, it is God's standard. Did you hear that? Submission is God's standard. That's point number one on why you should submit. It is God's standard. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse 18. It says, wives, let the wives to be shout hallelujah. Amen. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. In other words, that is what is befitting in the Lord. As a wife, a godly wife, all right, it is God's standard that you submit to your husband. Now, this is not gender equality or inequality. You have to embrace God's word here. It says, wives, submit yourself to your own husband. is what you do. You carry your good self. Hallelujah. And you submit to your husband. We find the same in Ephesians chapter number 5. All right, Ephesians chapter number 5. All right, if you start reading from verse 21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. And then verse 22 says, wives. The same thing said in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18. You know, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. The same way you submit to the Lord, all right, is what you submit, is how you submit to your husband. Now that takes us back to the initial point, that you cannot submit, all right, to your husband without submitting to the Lordship of God's word. In fact, the extent of your submission to your husband is the extent of your submission to God's word. All right, look at it. It says, as unto the Lord, as unto the Lord, as unto the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, we're coming back to that same scripture, all right? Ephesians chapter 5, you know, from verse 22. We're still coming back there. But let's move further. Number two reason why you should, you know, submit. Number two reason. Number two, it gives you identity. It gives you identity. Now, listen carefully. The principle of the body, oneness of the body, all right, means the whole part of the body is holding onto the head. Now, if I may ask you, where is the brain in the body? Of course, the head. Hallelujah. The brain is that organ that controls every part of the body. It is from the brain that instructions are received. Every part of the body receives instruction from the brain as to what to do and what not to do. Now, whenever there is a disconnect between the brain and a part of the body, now that leads to disease. What is known as disease is actually disease. All right, there wouldn't be ease again. There will be issues. All right, for example, when you know the right part of a man is not responding, what they call partial paralysis, all right, maybe the right hand. It means there is already a disconnection, all right, of the right part of the body from the left side of the brain. Hallelujah. All right, the left side of the brain controls the right part of the body. So it means that part of the body is no longer receiving instruction from the brain. So that part of the body now acts on its own. So if it mistakenly touches a sharp object, it can't know it's a sharp object. So it won't, you know the right response. It won't know to remove that part, that hand, from that sharp object, because the brain is no longer controlling it. So headship, control of the other part of the body is in the head. Now talking about identity. Listen, it is the head that gives identity to the body. And that's why, you know, when they ask for your ID card, all right, you don't need a portrait picture. They don't need the whole of your body. They only need your head, your face. The face is on the head. Hallelujah. The face is on the head. What makes you somebody, all right, is the head. You have a head, so we can recognize you. We can identify you, all right? So now, for a part of the body to want to disengage from the head is for that part to lack identity. What gives your leg your identity is your face. What gives your hand identity is your face. So listen carefully. A wife who is married to a man and is not submitted to that man lacks identity, is a man without a head. And that man lacks, that woman rather, all right, that woman lacks covering. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, so it's very important. It's very important. It gives you identity. Number three, you know, I have to be very fast now. Number three, it makes you. Your making is in your submission to your husband. Your making is in your submission to your husband. All right. If you don't submit to your husband, all right, you cannot be made. Now, Jesus said to some folks when he called them, right, they later became his disciples, in Matthew chapter number 4 and verse 19, he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. So, you know, it's in you following your husband, it's in you submitting to your husband that you are made. Now, in fact, come back to that Ephesians chapter number 2. All right, if you start reading from, let's quickly read down from verse 22. I'll read very quickly now. All right, you will see, I want to point your attention to some salient points there. It says, "Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife." So who is the head of the wife? The husband. Hallelujah. "Even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body." All right, so the head is the savior of the body. Salvation of the body comes from the head. Oh, wow. So it means the salvation of the woman. Now, salvation here means nothing missing, nothing broken, prosperity, all right, fulfillment of purpose, hallelujah, all right, making progress in life. Not talking about the salvation of being saved, being coming into Christ, no, talking about nothing missing, nothing broken, having all things, all right. So he says the salvation of the body, the wife being the body here now, all right, is with the head, the husband. So it means when the wife submits to the man, all right, he's saved. He has all things. She has all things, all right. All her needs are met. And then verse 24, it says, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything." In how many things? Everything. Is there anything removed from everything? No, nothing. In everything. All right, think about it. Think about anything, all right, is included in everything. It says you're meant to submit to your husband in everything. Why? Now let's quickly look at the role of a husband here, so that you see how that your making is in you submitting to your, all right, to your husband. Now, verse 25 says, "Husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the water." All right, the husband here sanctifies the wife, all right, and then that they might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Wow. That sounds like making. Listen, every woman comes into the hands of a man raw. No matter how well tutored or trained you are. All right? Every woman comes into the hands of a man. Talking about marriage now, raw. It takes the man, all right, by the teaching of God's word. All right, look at what it says, that he might sanctify. Sanctification talks about setting apart. He sets you apart unto himself, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. All right, the man begins to teach, all right, and then the woman is being made. She starts giving expression to the fullness of all that God has designed for her to be. Listen, you can't be all that God has designed for you to be if you don't submit to your husband. It's practically impossible. You must be totally submitted to your husband to be all that God wants you to be. Look at it, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Being made, thoroughly furnished. It takes you submitting to your own husband. That's very important. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. All right, so verse 28 says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies." As their own bodies. Listen, no man hates his own body. So the moment, all right, A woman is so submitted to her husband to the point that, you know, she has come into full oneness with the husband. Love is what will come from the husband to you. Love. Love. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 29 says, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, all right, the church, the Lord nourishes the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now you see the principle of oneness here. Now this is very important. And I want you to see oneness here from the point of submission. You submitting yourself as, you know, the body of that head, who is your husband. Let me say that again. Now, looking at the concept of, you know, the total body. The body has a head, and every part of the body is joined to that head. And Jesus, you know, I mean, Apostle Paul, rather, you know, was speaking to the church at Ephesus here by the Spirit of God, saying that the head nourishes the body. Look at verse 29 of Ephesians 5. It says, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. Now, if you acknowledge yourself as the body of that head, you will definitely receive a nourishment from that head. That's it. You see, what brings you into acknowledging yourself as the body of that head is submission. Submission. It means you submit to that head. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. When a branch, all right, remains engrafted into the vine, into a tree, it will always receive a supply from that tree. It will always be nourished. It will always receive all it needs for life, all it needs for godliness, all it needs for productivity, all right, from that vine. Now, but if the branch says, well, I'm not interested in this, you know, tree again, I want to cut myself off and attach myself to another, all right, or I can't, you know, I can't stand this tree again, the moment it cuts itself off, it can't receive nourishment from that, all right, tree again. What brings a woman into oneness with a man, true oneness with a man, is submission. Submission. And that kind of a woman is made. I mean, it offers you the privilege of being all that God has designed for you to be. Hallelujah. It amplifies your effort, all right? It brings about a multiplication, exponential multiplication. One which is 1,000, all right? Two that have become one. I love to add that. Two that have become one, which is 10,000. I thought it should have been 2,000. But listen, the blessing of submission in marriage, all right, is exponential increase. Exponential. No, not additive. It is exponential multiplication. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And of course, the two that are better than one, all right, is actually the two that have become one. So the woman submits to the man loves the wife. Perfect oneness. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen, submission. Let me quickly say this here. Submission is different from agreement. They are two different things. Though they you know, they may look alike. Agreement says, I agree with what you're saying, and so I'm going to partner with it. For example, maybe I'm traveling to Lagos, and then I say to a brother, you know, here in Ibadan, and I say, oh, brother, can you come with me to Ibadan? And actually, he had a plan of going to Ibadan as well. Will you ride with me in my car to Lagos? All right. I mean, the brother is, I mean, I'm going to Lagos, and then the brother also has a plan of going to Lagos. And then I approach him and I say, would you like to ride in my car with me to Lagos? Of course, he will say yes, because it's part of it. It aligns with his plan. And so he says, oh, why not, Pastor? I'll go with you. And so he enjoys my car. That's agreement. Now,
Submission,
all right, actually says he's not planning to go to Lagos at all. But he says, ah, Pastor, because you say to come with you to Lagos, I will. And then he writes in my car, contrary to his agenda, is against his agenda. But because that is what I want, all right, he submits to it and he follows me. Now we're coming to this is very important now. This is the core of it. Listen carefully. Your position in the life of your husband is that of support, is that of help. All right, God didn't put the eyes that create vision, all right, he didn't put them on the legs. The eyes, all right, are on the head. The mouth that gives instruction, on the head. So the head creates direction for the leg or the legs. Now, if the leg disagrees, you know, to go where the head wants to go, that's a state of dis-ease. If the leg cannot carry the head, all right, to where it wants to go, that's, you know, a state of disease. Now, it means, of course, the head too cannot go by itself. It needs the leg. So that's where your support comes in. All right. You, of course, you can give advice. You can give counsel. But listen, it dictates what happens in the marriage. He's the head. He's the leader. You're meant to follow him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In fact, submission forbids you to have another agenda from that of your head. The agenda of your head is your agenda. Yes. Someone says, ah, Pastor, this is too much. Yeah, that's submission. It says, wife, submit to your own husband as unto the Lord. The Lord cannot give you an agenda and say you have another agenda. The agenda of the Lord is your agenda. So it says, the same way you submit to the Lord, submit to your husband. So your husband's agenda has become your own agenda. Now someone says, oh, Pastor, what if I know, and it's so clear that this man is leading us in the wrong direction? Well, that's why you should not marry an unbeliever. We're coming there shortly now. You should not marry an unbeliever. You should marry a believer. Someone that you can control from the spirit realm. When you pray to God, Lord, your son is about to make a wrong decision. Please speak to him. And then the Lord shows up behind the scene, talks to him, and he comes back and he says, ah, sweetheart, you know what I told you we're going to do? No, we're changing our mind now. We're not doing it that way again. We're going the way you advised. And then you just smile. Of course, that's not the time to start saying, didn't I tell you? You see? No, that's not your place. Hallelujah. All right. You go behind the scene and give thanks to God. Lord, thank you for changing the heart of this man. But listen, a woman, permit me to say, to call, you know, that kind of a woman foolish. A foolish woman is a woman that will start nagging because she feels the husband, all right, is making a wrong decision. She will start arguing, all right, she will start giving attitude because she feels the man is making a wrong decision. That is not the right way to go at all. You submit and pray to the Lord, and the Lord will order his steps. And that way, he leads you rightly. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, so quickly, as I wrap it up now, how can you submit? Now we know why we must submit, all right? It is God's order. It is God's plan, all right? We understand that submission gives you identity, and we understand that your making is in your submission. You cannot be made. In fact, the level of your making is the level of your submission. If a woman is in marriage and thinks or feels she's not giving full expression to all that God has made her to be, she should check her level of submission. Period. Hallelujah. So how can you, you know, come to submission? How? Number one, The absolute with God's word. We've mentioned that. The absolute with God's word. The absolute with God's word. You cannot submit to your husband more than your submission to the word. Number two, I've mentioned this too in passing, and I'll say it again with more emphasis. All right, don't date an unbeliever. Did you hear that? Don't date. Listen, I didn't say don't marry, because there's something that comes before marriage. Don't date an unbeliever. Never catch yourself being attracted to an unbeliever. This is very important. I said this earlier. It is very important. All right, listen. The Lord has designed a path for you. Your path is not their path. Be not unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. Light and darkness don't go together. Christ and Belial don't go together. Righteousness and unrighteousness don't go together. He will ultimately lead you in the wrong direction, and there is nothing you can do about it. Once you are married to him, you are married. And you have the devil as your father-in-law. And so when your father-in-law comes, he says, I want to create some trouble here, and he knocks the door. You can't lock your father-in-law outside. You have to open the door. God forbid. God forbid, all right, that you're married to a child of the devil. All in the name of, you know, he's nice. All in the name of, he has money to throw around. All in the name of TDH, Paul, Dark and Handsome. Hallelujah. Those things are good. Hallelujah. They are very good. But listen, it's important that he's born again. It's important that he's a child of God. Very important. Every other thing, all right, is secondary. Every other thing is secondary. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's very, very important. Never catch yourself dating an unbeliever. Number three, accept his purposeful leadership. You know, stress on the purposeful. Accept his purposeful leadership. In other words, you must be in a relationship with someone you know, all right, will lead you in the path of purpose. Someone you know is going somewhere. Someone who has discovered purpose. Why would you want to follow someone to a place he does not know? Now, this is not, you know, God talking to Father Abraham. This is not God saying to him, follow me to a place I will show you. All right. At least Father Abraham had a word from the Lord that, you know, he was going to a place God will show him. Now, this is someone who does not have a clue about life, clueless, has not received any word from the Lord. All right. And then he says, come with me on this journey. Which journey? Where are we going? If you cannot define it, all right, it means he is not fit to lead you in a relationship. If you enter into such relationship, maybe for material things or for feelings, for emotions, all right, you will find yourself struggling with submission. You will find it difficult to submit. In other words, you must be in a relationship with someone you perceive as a leader, someone who can lead you into your rest, someone that you can trust with your life, someone who has come to the, all right, of course, maybe he might not have the full understanding of that purpose yet, but he knows what God has called him to do. He knows where he's going. He may not have, you know, the full blueprint as to that path, but he knows where God is taking him. That's the kind of man to go with. That's the kind of man that will help your submission. Hallelujah. Accept or embrace his purposeful leadership. Number four. Now, this is very important. Look up. This is important. Understand, all right, his heart. Catch his heart. You must catch the heart, all right, of the head. The man leading you in the relationship, you must catch his heart. What do I mean by catching his heart? You must identify his values. You must understand his values, all right, how he does the things he does, why he does the things he does. How does it do them? Why does it do them? This is very important. Now, that will come, all right, improper perspective, you know, knowing that you are meant to come into a relationship, marital relationship, with someone you have been friends with. It means this person had been your friend for a while and you have observed him. You've seen him, you understand his values, all right? You know that this guy has a purpose, there's somewhere he's going, this is how he does things, this is why he does things the way he does them. I think this guy can lead me. And then the guy asks you out, he says, I want to marry you. That's the kind of man to submit to. In fact, it will be easy for you to submit to him. So what should you look out for in marriage? Purpose. A man that has good understanding of purpose. All right. Someone who wants to date you, you look out for purpose. He must have a clear understanding of purpose. All right. He must have values. And then you begin to catch his, you know, his heart, understand his value, know why he does the things he does. Hallelujah. And then, of course, you may have to ask questions. Ask questions, all right? Ask for explanations, all right? It helps with your submission. Now, submission is not just, you know, they've said we should submit. Just, you know, plunge yourself into it without understanding. Now, for example, I'm submitted by the grace of God to Pastor Shegun Obaje, all right? So, submission here is not just me doing things out of lack of understanding or knowledge. All right, there are times I ask him questions, sir, do you mean I should do it this way? And he says, no, not that way, this way. I say, oh, all right, sir. Because submission is not just doing anything, it is in actually doing it in the way that, you know, pleases the head. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So it means you must understand the will of God to be a man of faith. And that is what pleases him. All right? It is said that faith begins where the will of God is known. So you must understand the heart of this man. You must know him. Now, for example, a man who does not see God as a good God, who sees him as a terrible God, who sees him as someone who demands too much, all right, will not submit to him. When you've come to see him as a good God, he's a good God. Now, no matter what happens, no matter the tantrums the devil throws around you, you know, God is a good God. I won't allow the devil, all right, lie to me that he's not. He's a good God. And so in the midst of things not working yet, you still serve him, you still submitted to him. That is submission, because you've caught his heart. You've come to understand the heart of God. You've come to understand how God operates, how he works. Hallelujah. So you must understand his heart. You must catch his heart. Amen. And then number five, that's the penultimate point. After this, I have one more point. And then, you know, I'll end this teaching. And then there will be room for question and answer and answers. All right, number five. So number five, this is very important. Listen carefully. Believe in his love. Believe in his love. Listen, if you don't believe a man loves you, you're going to find it difficult to submit to him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, that whosoever believes in his love, should not perish but have everlasting life. How is he going to have everlasting life? He will come to confess his lordship. Romans chapter 10, if you start reading from verse 9 down to 10, all right, confession is made unto salvation. And what is he supposed to confess with his mouth? The lordship of Jesus. That if any man shall believe in his heart, or I shall say with his mouth, shall confess with his mouth the lordship of Jesus, and believe in his heart that God has raised him from the dead, he shall be saved. All right, for with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So what brings man into eternal life with God is the man believing in the love of the Father and confessing his lordship. Lordship means rule it over me. I submit to your All right, leadership. I submit to your authority. And so you must believe in his love. That's very important. You must believe he loves you. And let me say this here. Your definition of love must be right. Now, people have all kinds of definition of love. I read, you know, I stumbled on someone, one of these, you know, status things that fly around on Twitter. You know, someone posted and said, you need more than love to be in a relationship. You know, she said, you need respect, you need resources, you need, and she started counting all of that. And I'm like, oh, this person has missed it. Because in love is respect. In love is kindness. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then he began to define every other thing. Patience. All right. There's patience in love. There's kindness in love. Hallelujah. Long suffering in love. Your needs are met in love. Don't be materialistic. Don't love someone because of the things he has. All right. Catch, you know, let me put it this way. Go for virtue. Go for character. Go for substance. And let me quickly say this here. This is very important. This is very important. Now listen to this. Now, a man that loves you is a man that loves God with all of his heart. A solid man of character, all right, with clearly defined purpose, whose heart is totally given to the Lord. Listen, don't be deceived. A man cannot love you more than he loves God. And that's why, this is important. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That is why, all right, when your man is loving God, giving so much attention to God, all right, don't never catch yourself trying to say, oh, you're giving too much attention to God. How about me? Listen, this is wisdom. When a man puts you, all right, in God, he puts you in God, all right, of course he has found you in God because you are in God, hallelujah, and then he loves God. So it means his love for you is as much as his love for God. The same way that God's love for us is as much for his, I mean, is as much as his love for Christ, because he put us in Christ. He has put us in Christ, and now he's loving Christ and in turn loving us. A wise man will put all of his, all he cares for, in Christ, in God, and then pours all of his love on God. That way, all right, his heart is not divided. You know, some part for, you know, his husband, I mean his wife, some part for his children, some part for his pastor, some part for his... No, he puts them all in God, and then he's loving God. The extent of his love for you is the extent of his love for God. That's the kind of man to go for. Hallelujah. That is the kind of man to go for. Amen. Praise God. Now don't be materialistic. Kick out idols. Your pattern of what a man should look like. Your template of what a man should look like. If it is not TDH, tall, dark, and handsome. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen, if God has not prepared a tall man for you, embrace the package. And listen, God is not going to give you something that is not awesome. I know my God for that. But much more on the content. The content. Don't fix your gaze on the container. The content is more important than the container. But I trust my God is not going to put good content, all right, in a very terrible container. No, but this is where, you know, this is how God works now. This is where you have to be very careful. God always puts treasures in earthen vessels. So it means at times the vessel might come in a way that is not attractive. But a very wise woman will pay detailed attention to see the treasure in the earthen vessel. And then say, ah, there's something about this vessel. this vessel, you know, is in the making. And then she goes for that vessel because there is content in that vessel. Kick out idols. All right. Oh, the man must be like this. The man must have this. The man must have that. The man, if he's not like this, is a... See, if that is what God has said to you, fine. But if not, please, beloved, embrace the will of God as to who to marry and believe in his love. Amen. Amen. And then lastly, glory to God, finally, you extend him. Be a true representative of his values. Be a true representative of his dreams. Be a true representative of his aspirations, of his purpose. Hallelujah. Be his number one fan. Yeah, number one fan. Always, you must always be his number one fan. Always his supporter. When he needs, he has an idea, you know, that he intends to materialize, be the first person to give, you know, a thumbs up to it. Be the first person, you know, to give a kudos to it. Be the first person to help him design a template to make it work. Make his journey your journey. That way it becomes easy to submit to him. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. All right, for time, I would like to stop here. Because, you know, maybe there are some things I didn't touch, but I'm sure during the question and answer time, I will be able to touch them. I believe you have learned something today. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe you've learned something. Amen. Right now, all right, I want to pray for people. I want to pray for people. Thank you, Father. Glory to God forevermore. In fact, thank you, Holy Spirit. There's someone listening to me right now. And I'll be very specific about this. I heard this. All right. You have an issue with the stature, you know, the physical appearance of the man God has brought into your life. And so you are considering going for another kind of stature. Maybe he's not tall, but you want someone who is tall. The Lord says to tell you, embrace my will for you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. I perceive healing anointing. This is interesting. Healing anointing, white teaching, submission in marriage. All right. There's someone out there. All right. You have a pain around your lower abdominal area. Thank you, Father. Yeah. The healing power of God is upon you right now. Yeah. You are healed. You are healed now. The pain is gone. The pain is gone. Thank you, Father. All right. Oh, glory to God. There's someone there. Your menstrual flow has been irregular. It's been irregular. In the name of Jesus, the power of God is upon you now, and I regularize it, and the pain is gone in the name of Jesus. Wow. Thank you, Father. All right. Yeah, that's for, you know, someone whose a menstrual period has not been regular. It's been irregular. Now, there's someone out there, you always have terrible pain. I mean, serious pain that at times you'll be rolling on the floor during your menstrual flow. The Lord says, an end has come to it now. And I declare it in the name of Jesus. No more pain in Jesus' name. Yeah, it's gone. It's gone in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Now, I want to pray. I want to pray for those who are of marriageable age. By now, you should be married, but you are not married. Now, by the grace of God, there's a grace of God upon me that makes for early establishment. And I want to impart the same upon you. And listen to this. There is no rain I mean, there's no distance, rather, in the realm of the spirit. The same way that, physically speaking, God is far away from us on earth here, but spiritually, He's right in our hearts. So right there where you are, the power of God is there. And as I pray, all right, the hand of the Lord will be strong upon you, will touch you. All right, just open up, yield yourself to the Spirit of God. Whatever handle He gives to you, all right, go ahead and, you know, release yourself to it and express it. If it is praying in other tongues, all right, if it is dancing, shouting, all right, if you know, brings you down on the floor, allow it. Thank you, Father. Glory, glory, glory to God. Yeah, the power of God is strong here now. Now, make a point of contact with your device. Yeah, your phone, your laptop, whatever you're listening to me with right now, you know, make a contact with it. And in the name of Jesus, Father, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your loved ones. Thank you for your children. Male and female, you made man. Yes, you have designed them to have a husband. And Lord, I ask that for everyone under the sound of my voice that desires a man for marriage, right now, wherever that man is, the word of the Lord reaches him, and there is a relocation, and there is a meeting, there is a connection between those men and the women that need to be married, that are under the sound of my voice right now, in the name of Jesus. I dispense upon you the grace of God, and I call you married. I call you married. I call you Beulah, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, you are married in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. There's someone there, all right, and the Lord says to pray this prayer for you very specifically. The siege is over. That veil, that covering upon you, that has shielded your beauty, that has covered your beauty such that men walk past you without even noticing you, that veil is torn now in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Father, for it. Thank you, Father, for it. Zoba gigado lokoto rabadaga da koste. Men klatosu bradia takena nos kevinda da. Rabadokoto kabaya. The siege is over. You're free in the name of Jesus. Yes, thank you, Lord. Testimony abound now. Testimonies abound. Testimonies abound. Testimonies abound in the name of Jesus. Oh, henceforth, your smell is as the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. In the name of Jesus, your name is as an ointment poured forth. The man that should love you, the man that should be your head, is attracted unto you now in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name forevermore. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, rejoice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.